My name's Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on Earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you too are mad about Mickey, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice just thinking about or planning your first ever trip to Walt Disney World and you still don't know the difference between Donald Duck and Daffy Duck. Well, then this really is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll chat to other Disney superfans from around the UK to share their memories of their magical times. And this week, we got all emotional with James.
I do get a bit of grief, but for me, it was one of the best moments of my life.
Also going to be answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and everything you need to have the greatest time at the most magical place on Earth. And make sure you keep in touch with us as well. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at PodMagical. And that's the same place to go. If you've got any questions about Walt Disney World, whether it comes to planning or anything, I'll do my best to answer. I've been a few times. Hello to Chris. Andy, question for you. Several times I've been to Walt Disney World and I've seen cast members with families or small groups just jumping to the front of the lines and just having a great time. Are these VIP tours? How much do they cost? Are they worth it? And how do I book? Well, yes, they are VIP tours. If you want the top end private VIP tour, these cost up to $750 an hour, I think, if you go in peak season. So that's basically having a cast member with you and you go, OK, we want to do this, we want to go here, and they'll just take you around. There are other tours that you can do as well. I've done the Keys to the Kingdom tour, which is about 3 or 4 hours. That takes you backstage at Magic Kingdom, and also it jumps you on a few attractions as well. That's well worth it. I think that's like $100 that we paid for that. The next one up from that is what I want to do next time. Next time I go back, they do a backstage magic, which is kind of like the Keys to the Kingdom, but then you also do Epcot as well, and you see a few other of the facilities, and that's about $275 a person. If you've been a few times, the VIP tours are worth it. They're really worth it, and you can book them just through the normal Disney World website. They're on there. Any questions? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, PodMagical is where we are. And if you'd like to be a podcast guest one episode and talk about your love of Walt Disney World, then get in touch. That's what James did, who's on this episode of the podcast. And right now, James, you're going to tell us, go on, why do you love Walt Disney World?
So I was trying to think of an original answer, because I know this one's given a fair amount, but it is that escapism. It's getting on a plane, you can disappear, and as soon as you get there, it's just, it feels like you're in a world that the world should be. Everyone's just so happy. And if you've got the right plan and everything, everything's prepaid for. So you don't really have to worry about too much other than merchandise and gift shops. But it is definitely just that escapism.
Yeah, getting on a plane. I've escaped already. You remember getting on a plane?
Oh, distant memory.
You do remember, because you went in March last year, didn't you?
Yeah, I was there March 2020 during the closure.
What, how long had you been there before they started shutting down?
So we were a week into a two-week holiday. We got the message. I think we got there on the Saturday, and I think it was possibly the Wednesday after that that we got the notification that the parks were closing.
Yeah.
And then it was a bit later after that we were told that the resorts were closing, because there was a bit of a... weren't too sure what they were doing, I don't think.
Was it your time to come home by the time the resorts closed, or did you have to find somewhere else to stay, or did you have to come back early? How did that work out for you?
Yeah, so we came back early. I think the parks and resorts closed on the Sunday, and we were told we had to leave the resorts by, I think, the Wednesday. So I think we're on a plane back on the Tuesday, but it was just a bit of a scramble trying to find a flight and everything to get back.
Did you book the package? Did they sort that out for you, or did you have to find that yourself?
We booked the flight separately, so we generally go with the offer that comes out from Disney, where it's, you know, free dining, and flights were booked separately, so we managed to change the flights and everything. But it was the main thing. We only got a week in the parks where we had the 2 weeks booked, which was a bit of a disaster.
So what did you do for the week? Was it a good week, all in all?
It was great. My family couldn't keep up with me, but on the last day, so the Sunday that the parks were closing, I decided to do all four parks in one day.
Tell me about the structure for that, because I've done four parks in one day once, and my feet have still not recovered. Where did you start? What did you do?
I can't remember which order I did it in, but I think I headed to Epcot first.
Yeah.
I went on Soaring, Test Track. I did a lap around the World Showcase, doing a couple of stops. And then I think I jumped on the gondola Skyliner across to Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
Did a couple of bits there. It was reasonably quiet. I think a lot of people had decided that the closing, let's sort of stay away. So I did manage to get a few things in. Then I think Animal Kingdom, my family met up with me then at Animal Kingdom, and we did the bits of Animal Kingdom, and then over to Magic Kingdom for the last fireworks.
To finish the day at the fireworks, yeah. I think when we did it, we started at Animal Kingdom, because that was open early. We went from Animal Kingdom to Hollywood Studios, then we walked from Hollywood Studios to Epcot, and then we got the monorail from Epcot to Magic Kingdom.
Right.
But yeah, it can be done, can't it?
Yeah, it was. I did make a list. I've got a picture somewhere, but I made a list of what I did in each park, and yeah, there was a lot of miles done, and I was just, I had it in my head, right, I'm losing a week of Disney, I need to get it all in this day.
Yeah, you didn't only lose a week, you lost a year and a half.
Yeah, there's that as well.
So how many times had you been before? Are you a regular Disney goer?
No, so I've been twice. I went once in 2018 and once in 2020. My wife made a bit of a Disney monster when she took me. So my first time, she'd been before, I think, 2015. So we're, you know, a little bit older going. We didn't go as kids or anything. The 2018 time I went, for me it was, oh, I'm going to America for the first time. Oh, I'm going to Disney and Universal. For me, Universal stood out more personally, because growing up, I saw the adverts on TV and I just always wanted to go to Universal.
Yeah, with Jaws and things like that, Jaws coming out of the water.
Yeah, seeing the spinning globe with the Universal sign over it on the river, the lake, yeah, whichever it is. And it just looked like the dream. They made it look so good on the TV adverts, I think. And I was into Disney, but I think as a sort of, you know, through your teens, you sort of drift away from Disney, I think, sometimes. I don't know if it's just me, but I found in my teens it wasn't so much Disney, it was the sort of Universal side of it. I was amazed by Disney. It was just that world that they sort of take you into. It really sucked me in, and it really did get me. I think just into that Disney bubble. I feel like two different people. There's me before Disney and me after I've been to Disney.
So your wife had been quite a few times before then?
Just the one. So she's been in 2015 and then 18 and 20 with me. She went with her family. We met in, must have been before that, because we actually met in 2015. So she'd been already. So I think it must have been maybe 2013 or 14 that she went.
But something very special did happen on one of those trips, didn't it?
Yeah. So the 2018 holiday, I proposed under the castle in Magic Kingdom.
Ah. So was this a complete surprise for her? Did she not see it come in?
No, she had no idea. So obviously for me, as I said, Disney at that time wasn't this big thing for me, but it was for her. And it just felt like the right time for us. So I got the ring. I'd spoken to her father before we went, just to tick that box and get the permission. The three of us that were there, there was me and my wife, and my mother-in-law came with us.
So who had the ring? Did she smuggle the ring in for you?
So that's a funny story, that. So I kept hold of the ring, and on the way to the entrance, I didn't realise that there's metal detectors.
Yeah.
I didn't really think of it. So my mother-in-law distracted the guys on the gate. You know, I think she had a quiet word when my wife wasn't looking, you know, he's got a ring in his pocket, and they let me through undetected.
Tell me about the actual proposal then. Where was it? What time of day was it?
It was late at night, just before the fireworks. I think we'd done the things of our day, and we were going to Magic Kingdom mainly to see the fireworks. I'd realised, quite crafty, obviously they take your picture in front of the castle.
Yeah.
And I figured out, if I can get a picture in front of the castle and then go for the asking the question, the camera might still be rolling. So we actually got some good pictures from the people that take your picture in front of the castle as well.
Did you give the photo pass photographer a bit of a tip off, going, I'm gonna propose?
No, not at all. The person taking the picture, the cast member, she looked away, realised what I was doing, and I saw her gasp and quickly look back to take more pictures.
stop. Did we get tears and everything?
Yeah, tears. We got the applause from the crowd that were around us. It was just the most perfect moment, and I do get a bit of grief, but for me, it was like one of the best moments of my life. I get grief because obviously there was the wedding that's followed that. That should have superseded that memory. But
yeah.
the wedding was amazing, but for me, that moment, just, you know, proposing in front of the castle, and it was just a special moment.
We'll have to get the photograph of that one. We'll put that up, certainly. And then we can all have a look at that one. And did you have a Disney-themed wedding in any way?
Yeah, a little bit. So our tables at the reception were the parks. So we had Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Animal Kingdom. I think we got the water parks in there as well, just because we ran out of names. There's more than four tables. And then we had a Disney wedding cake. We've actually got some, I don't know if you've seen them at the Disney World, but they've got wedding hats you can get there.
Yes.
I think they're a bit like the ears, but the wedding themed. So
like
we've
the
got
top hat and the veil, yeah.
Yeah, so we've got some pictures with those. I don't think we're wearing them on the day, but yeah, there's pictures of us wearing them at different times, and I think that we're kicking around on the wedding day on display.
somewhere. Other. Now, I usually say, what's your favourite memory of all your times at Disney World? I think you've kind of just mentioned that one, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's definitely that one.
But we still have lots of other things to talk about, and we will do after we've taken a quick update on the news now. And it might be quite a while before we find out when we'll actually be able to fly to America again. A few weeks ago, during the G7 summit, the UK and America tried to work together to reopen transatlantic travel. Talks are underway, but there's a long way to go yet. Some of the complexities include the fact that America doesn't recognise AstraZeneca vaccine at the moment. And also with a high number of cases of the Delta variant here in the UK, it's made things a little bit more difficult. They were hoping things would be sorted out this month. It now could be August, maybe even September before we even get to hear when we're going to be able to fly to America again. Don't forget, we'll keep you updated on anything. Meanwhile, at Walt Disney World, more details have been announced for the 50th birthday celebrations. 1st of October, Magic Kingdom turns 50. Walt Disney World turns 50. We know we've got the new fireworks at the Magic Kingdom and at Epcot. Harmonious gets its debut that night as well. Also, early park entry is going to start on that day. So if you're staying at Walt Disney World Resort, all the parks will be open slightly earlier for you. It's only half an hour during the day. But they also announced that guests staying at Deluxe Resort will get extended theme park evenings on some nights. They haven't been announced yet, but there you go. If you're staying at one of the deluxe resorts, the Contemporary or the Yacht and Beach or Boardwalk or somewhere very expensive, or maybe you're staying at a DVC resort, it means you'll get to enjoy a bit extra in the parks on select nights. And on the subject of resorts, there's some more reopenings have been confirmed for some Walt Disney World hotels, including what seems to be everybody's favourite. We've got a date that French Quarter is going to be reopening. You'll be able to stay there from the 28th of October. So 28th of October for French Quarter. Riverside opens a little bit before that on the 14th of October. Disney's All-Star Music Resorts, you can book that from September the 16th. And All-Star Sports Resort will be reopening from December the 9th. And finally, talking about resorts, what's the first thing you do when you check into your room? You throw the bags on the floor, you switch on the TV, of course, because we all want to watch Stacey. We know we've come home when Stacey's on the TV with her resorts guide. Well, bad news. Stacey has been retired. After 15 years of her showing us around Walt Disney World, she is no more on the old Disney Resorts TV. Farewell, Stacey. Any more updates between now and the next podcast, don't forget to follow us on the socials. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Podmagical is where we are. And we're back with James, who's our guest for this episode. So when it comes to hotels and resorts, where do you love? Where have you stayed and where are your favourites?
So we stayed at Caribbean Beach in 2018. It was actually being refurbished at that point, but you know, where you eat and dine and things, that was just in a tent. It was a nice tent, but it was
I remember that, yeah,
scaled down version. And then in 2020 we stayed at Coronado Springs. Both fantastic. I'd stay at them again. I think in the future I'm interested in checking out the Disney Springs sort of affiliated resorts, just to see if there's a cost saving there and see if
there will be, yeah,
because I know that you get a lot of the benefits of transportation and Disney Springs is right there anyway, so I'd be interested to check that out next time.
Yeah, definitely worth a look at. And between those two resorts, between Caribbean Beach and Coronado Springs, because they're around the same price, aren't they? They're the moderate, yeah, resorts. Between the two of them, which one was the better one, do you think, in terms of getting around and everything else, if you had to choose one?
I guess they've changed a bit since. So Caribbean Beach has now got the Skyliner. Mm-hmm. I found Coronado Springs, it's a big resort, and I didn't find there was as many drink stations to refill at. So Caribbean Beach slightly had the edge, I think. Even though it was under refurbishment, it just felt like a little bit better to access. And now, yeah, even with the Skyline, it's going to be even better to get around.
They're kind of like the similar size, really, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, they are, yeah. I don't know why. Coronado Springs just felt a bit more walking. Maybe I didn't think we were staying particularly further away from sort of the main areas of the resort, but I don't know why Coronado just felt a bit more walking to do.
More spread out, yeah. You said you had the free dining last time you went, so favourite restaurant or restaurants? Because sometimes you can't just pick one.
I do have a bit of a different answer. So we do the quick service, and I found the best thing to do was to hit the World Showcase at Epcot and just try different things from around the world.
Yeah.
Use your snack credits, use those meal vouchers. And yeah, it's not one fixed place, but it's quite unique to be able to walk around that and just experience different types of cuisines from around the world.
Especially if it's the Food and Wine Festival and you can use all those snack credits if you've got them at every single booth on the way around.
Yeah, you never know what's common knowledge and what isn't, but those little symbols that appear after the food that lets you know that you can use your snack credit. Yeah. A lot of people just don't know that what that is. I know I didn't on my first trip.
Yeah, it can be quite baffling, can't it? Going, well, is that quick service? Is it a snack credit? What does that mean, that DP? What is that? But yeah, if it's got that little symbol, that's weird.
Yeah, I was totally confused on my first trip. I didn't have a clue. And then, yeah, for the second trip, I did get more geared up and had sort of where I was going to go. Just food-wise, Wolfgang Puck at Disney Springs, that is, I don't know if the new one is, but there was a Wolfgang Puck Express.
Yes.
That was on the quick service, which
yeah.
You wouldn't expect, but it was. The food was really good, and I know you don't hear much about Wolfgang Puck, but we enjoyed the food there.
Yeah, that was always good use of a quick service. Breakfast, they used to do a breakfast pizza. Brilliant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And of course, when it was the alcohol included, you could have a mimosa as well. Start your day the right way.
Yeah.
Why not? So what's your planning strategy then, even from the start, when it comes to booking and everything? What's your strategy?
So we generally wait for the best deal to come out from Disney, which for us, it's that where you get the dining plan. I think you get 14 nights for the price of 7, the Disney gift card. So we usually sort of wait until that comes out and then book that through Disney and book our flights separate.
Yeah.
That's generally how we've done it. I know that there's different people have different opinions of whether the dining plan's the best option, because I think if you're just to pay for your food, it can work out a little bit cheaper, but we've just gone for the dining plan just for that ease if you get there and you don't have to sort of think about it, really.
With the table service as well, it depends if you were going to eat all those tables. If you're going to eat at all those restaurants anyway, then yeah, but if you're not, then it probably not. But if you're going to eat the food, then why not let Mickey Mouse pay for it for you?
The 2020 time, we actually got the 2 weeks' worth of food, but only actually stayed for, like, you know, just over a week. So they didn't cancel our credits. They left them there. The amount of chocolate and things we came back with.
So how much was left? Because obviously you only had half the time, but you still had 2 weeks' worth of dining credits.
Yeah.
So did you just literally get all the goofy sweets?
All the goofy sweets, those, if you've seen the chocolate bars, you can get the different, the waffle cone. And
yeah.
We absolutely stacked up because the meals qualify as 3 snack credits.
That's right, yeah.
Which is generally... So, we couldn't have used it all. We had too much.
I suppose if you'd have known in advance, then you could have gone like, well, we'll do 3 meals a day every day in the first week. But yeah.
Yeah. I expected them to want that credit back. But the way it's sold to you is that it's free.
Yeah, they're yours. Yeah.
We did get a refund on, you know, the nights that we didn't stay in the park, tickets we couldn't use. But yeah, the snack credits, because it's sold to you as, you know, a free, you know, get this for free. There's nothing really for them to.
Yeah, there's nothing refund. They can do, is there?
Yeah.
Let's talk about your perfect Disney day, James. In fact, you've done 4 parks in one day. If you had 24 hours at Walt Disney World, how would you spend it?
I think it has to start with Magic Kingdom. We always go there first. When, you know, our first park we go to is Magic Kingdom. Just, it always feels right. Not every day, but that first to start the trip.
Yeah.
So after that, personally, I'd head off to Epcot around, you know, lunchtime, mid-afternoon. I've said already, but I love the World Showcase. I think it's so unique just to get that experience of all the different cultures and different foods and different drinks to try. I just think it's great. Hollywood Studios, there's a lot going on there, but I'm not a massive Star Wars fan, so a lot of the a lot of the Galaxy's Edge and everything, as much as they've done a great job, it's just
a bit lost on you.
I've tried to get into the films and it just doesn't get
not
me. I don't
you.
Get the interest,
no.
But so Hollywood Studios isn't top of my list, so Animal Kingdom is probably one we'd head to next.
Is that where you'd finish your day, Animal Kingdom?
I've probably got them in the wrong order, because finishing your day is the Magic Kingdom with the fireworks as a perfect day.
But you could start and come back.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably trying to get too much in one day, to be honest.
Got to finish the day with the fireworks, though.
Yeah, definitely finish the day with the fireworks. But we certainly start a trip and end the trip at Magic Kingdom.
So last time you went, did you get to do Rise of the Resistance and Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Train?
No, so Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Train, we actually had a fast pass for our week that we lost.
No!
I know, but it just opened, I think, two weeks before our trip.
It was open 10 days before the parks closed.
Yeah, so we were in that rare window where we could have been one of the first to ride it.
Mm.
The standby line was really long. I think we never saw it under an hour. And we just decided not to wait because we had that fast pass for the following week. And I think as soon as they made the announcement that they were closing, the queues just got even longer in the back few days, especially for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
That's the one everybody wanted to get on then, yeah.
Yeah, so we never got on that one. And yeah, the Galaxy's Edge rides, as much as I'd like to go on to experience it, they're still fairly new, so the queues... We couldn't get a fast pass. I don't think they were doing them for that, actually. You see the clips of people getting there at 6 a.m., 7 a.m. to get those early boarding groups, and yeah, I've not had that passion to go and do that.
not if you're not a Star Wars fan, it's a bit too much, isn't it?
Yeah, and Slinky Dog's one of the new ones as well, but we didn't make it onto that. I think it was just the queue was quite long, and we sort of thought, oh, we'll do that next time. And
yeah. And if you had fast passes for all these things, then you don't think, you go, well, what's the point of waiting when we've got fast passes, and then you can't use them because you've got to come home.
Yeah, I think if we were to do that first week again, knowing that it was just 1 week, we'd have probably been a bit more selective over what we'd have done, but we did feel like we had time on our hands.
What is your favourite attraction, by the way?
So in Florida, for thrills, for me, it's Hulk at Universal.
He's gone Universal, how dare he?
Yeah, for me, the thrill of that, just being over the water as well. I don't think anything touches it for me in Universal that I've been on.
Yeah. Although the new Jurassic Park roller coaster, the Velocicoaster, looks incredible.
It does, yeah. And Hagrid's as well. I forget the official name for it.
Hagrid's. We call it Hagrid's. Hagrid's.
Yeah. But we didn't actually get on that this time. Again, it was just the queues because it was a new ride. It was open. But yeah, we didn't make it onto that one. From Disney side of it, Tower of Terror, I think, is, we love that.
Again, it's the thrill of it all.
Yeah, and Seven Dwarfs in Magic Kingdom, that's really good.
That's cute, isn't it? Is that, would you say, your guilty pleasure? Have you got a guilty pleasure?
I think Disney's my guilty pleasure, Disney World.
Just all
I find
of it.
That the whole thing is just, I watch the vlogs and, yeah, I'm always watching the updates and counting down the days I can return. It's definitely become something that a lot of people don't get, but one thing, once you've been and it's got you, it becomes like your passion.
Then you get it, yeah. Is there anything you don't like?
I think it's just those travel days. The flights are quite long and I can't sleep on the plane. And usually by the time you've transferred to your hotel, and I live in, I think it's 2 hours to get to the airport from where we live.
Right, yeah.
So by the time you've actually got to your airport, gone through security, you know, got there, you've been awake a long time. So just those travel days sometimes are a bit disruptive.
Yeah,
but
because it's always an early flight, isn't it? So you'd be up at like 4 to make sure you're at the airport in time, and then it's a long day, then you've got to get to the hotel, and then you've got the time difference, and you've got to like power through.
This time we stayed over at the hotel, so it was only a 2-hour drive, but we thought, well, we'll treat ourselves and stay over this time. It did soften the blow a little bit, but I think if you can sleep on a plane, it's probably better. But yeah, personally, I can't sleep on a plane.
I can't sleep on a plane either.
Yeah.
So you're not on your own. And then coming back and not wanting to come back and not being able to sleep, and then it's not good, is it?
This time coming back to a pandemic.
Yeah, to a global pandemic, not knowing when you can go back again. Have you got another trip booked or in your sights?
No, the short answer. we've never been to Disneyland Paris. We were looking at doing that later this year, but things don't seem to have settled. So we're just going to wait until things are a bit more stable, and then possibly next year or the year after, look at going to Disneyland Paris. And then
yeah.
I think it's going to be a good sort of 4 years or so until we actually get back to Walt Disney World.
Back over to Florida again.
Yeah. I think let things settle and have a Paris trip just to fill the gap. But we'll definitely return one day.
To get a bit of Disney going. Well, thank you for your time, James. Lovely chatting to you.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, it's been good.
And we'll have a look at those engagement pictures in front of the castle on our socials. Meanwhile, James, have a magical day.
Yeah, great. Thanks a lot.
Do get in touch if you'd like to be a podcast guest at PodMagical. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Give us a like, give us a follow on all the social medias. You can keep in touch there. We'll keep you updated with all the news as well between this and the next podcast. Top tip for this episode is Disney buses. People can sometimes get stressed out when you're leaving your hotel in the morning and you've just missed a bus. And like, when's the next one's going to be? I'm looking up at the screen there. Oh, if I'd have known there was one like in 50 minutes, I would have just waited. I would have gone for another drink or something like that. Well, did you know that you can keep up to date with the bus times from your resort on the My Disney Experience app? Once you've checked into the resort, go into your hotel, and all the details are in there, along with like your room number and your room charges and things like that, including bus times. So you can sit in your room and go, well, there's not a bus for half an hour, so what's the point? Unless, of course, you want to be at the front of the queue and stand outside in Florida heat, then feel free. But bus times are on the My Disney Experience app. More top tips on the podcast, which will be in 2 weeks from now. Don't forget, we've got brand new podcasts, brand new guests, brand new questions to be answered, all the latest news every other week on the most magical podcast on earth. I will speak to you in 2 weeks' time. And until then, please stand clear of the doors.